Welcome to The Media Insider, the podcast which gives you the secrets on how to get into the media. Every episode, I interview a commissioning editor or producer about exactly what stories and interviews they commission for their pages or programme, and how you can pitch to them. I'm your host, Helen Croydon. I'm an author, a former journalist, and now I run a small PR practice called ThoughtLeadershipPR.com, helping business leaders, academics, entrepreneurs, and public figures become better known as experts in their field. If you like this podcast, please tell your colleagues, share it on social media. That's how others find it. Welcome to the next edition of the Media Insider podcast. This episode, I'm joined by Grant Schreider. He's the founding editor of Real Leaders. Before that, he has vast business experience in building brands and publishing a range of titles in South Africa. So before we start, we should tell our listeners that this is the first time we've ever recorded it online, for obvious reasons. I usually go and visit my editorial guests in person with my podcast equipment. So because of social distancing, I did a test run of remote recording with a colleague. Of course, that worked perfectly. Then Grant got on the line and it didn't work. So I am now sitting outside a room recording myself on my normal podcast recording equipment. Meanwhile, Grant is being recorded on my computer, and I'm also on the phone to Grant so he can hear my voice. So there has to be a simpler way of doing this. But anyway, let's get started. First of all, Grant, could you sum up Real Leaders and some of the regular pages and slots, if it works like that, that you commission for?
Sure. Thanks, Helen, for the opportunity to speak about Real Leaders today. Real Leaders has been going for around 10 years now, and our core focus has always been sustainable business and sustainable leadership. And we were one of the first magazines, well, in fact, the first magazine in the world to focus on sustainable leadership. It was a term most people didn't even know way back then, and I think it's become part of the main vernacular of media these days. Most media outlets are jumping onto some kind of sustainability. So what we did a few years ago was look at the media landscape, and we realized that instead of reinventing things, we could actually just latch ourselves very comfortably onto things like the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And what I try and do with the magazine is find content around each of those 17 goals. So it's been a very nice template for me to use, and an easy way to find topics that, instead of scratching your head about what you should try and highlight this week, you can look and see what's going on in health and well-being, which obviously is trending right now. Things around education, about gender equality, about life below water, life on land. So it's become a really good editorial calendar for me, you could say.
Can you tell our listeners who your readership is and your circulation, both for your website, which is realleaders.com, and your print publication?
Sure. The printed magazine, we're on newsstands globally and in major outlets around the US, Hudson and Barnes & Noble. And we're probably on around 70 to 80,000 copies right now in terms of print. We're also on our website, we probably have around 60 to 70,000 unique visitors a month. Those obviously go up and down depending on the popularity of certain stories. Sometimes we have way more than those. We had a story on opioid addiction about 2 years ago on our website, and it's been read about 500,000 times already. And I think it really just depends on, as you know, if there are certain topics that are right for the time. And when those come along, they just seem to trend. So our formula is really to look at long-term stories. We know that certain stories around sustainable leadership and sustainable business will still be relevant in 5-10 years' time. And then there's the more immediate trending stories. And of course, at the moment, we've turned our attention onto the coronavirus. And I think the challenge right now is trying to come up with stories that are fresh. If you look on LinkedIn and you look on major news websites, everyone seems to have jumped on board. How do we solve working from home? How do we keep employees motivated? And I think the challenge right now is to try and find fresh angles on that topic.
Yeah, it is so interesting right now that every single news angle, every single publication is being led by coronavirus, but obviously from all the different angles. So if you're a health publication, you're still writing health features, but it's to do with the coronavirus. If you're a business publication, you're still writing about business features, but it's all to do with the coronavirus. So for you as a sustainability focused publication, I guess it's, are people pitching you things that are relevant to that?
I think so. I think the people pitching need to become a little bit more refined in what they're focusing on. I think the list of 10 things to do while working at home has been done to death already.
It sure has.
And I think that's what I said, that it's going to become a real challenge because there's going to be a point where you run out of things to say about working from home. I think what I'm looking for at the moment in particularly are uplifting stories, stories that look backwards to move forward. So, looking at how people in the past have dealt with these kind of crises and what lessons we can learn. So going all the way back to 1918 Spanish flu, there must have been very similar scenarios, both for people being housebound and people having to still run businesses and companies in times like that. Second World War, First World War, there have been plenty of scenarios around the world where people have had to carry on regardless. And I think those are the kind of things where people are going to have to dig a little deeper and find interesting angles on these stories.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your planning process. Is it just you involved in the commissioning process or do you have a whole team?
I come up with some of the top line ideas. It gets bounced around the team. We have a small team of around 5 people. I think what's important to realize is that what works in a magazine doesn't always work online and vice versa. So sometimes we will actually look at the social media following of a potential cover story, for instance, because we know that it's not just about people seeing the magazine on newsstands. It's also about who's going to pick it up online through SEO.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's important as well in pitching stories to look at what kind of social benefit there is to us. It's not just about finding a great story and putting it in print anymore. It's also about the social dynamics that happen in the background.
Yes. And because you're the editor, so do you write a lot of the stuff or are you purely in a commissioning role?
I do a lot of commissioning, but I do write a lot of stories as well. I tend to write the more highbrow stories with celebrities and world leaders, try and find interesting new angles on them that haven't been seen before. That's one of the things about Real Leaders is looking at well-known people and trying to uncover stories that most people don't know about them. For instance, I spoke to Forrest Whitaker, who's known as an actor first and foremost, but he's doing a lot of work in Sudan with kids and a lot of work around peace. And so that's not a role people know him for. And those are the kind of stories I enjoy looking for.
Yes. So talk me through a little bit about the format, because it sounds like you have a lot of interviews. I know that online you do a lot of thought leadership content or contributor articles that other people write. So, roughly speaking, what is there a format? Are there set slots that you're always looking to fill?
Well, leadership, that's what we focus on primarily. And I think it's a case of, if you had to draw a column that said the word leadership in it, and then on the other side, you had all 17 sustainable development goals that I mentioned earlier, and you started to pair them and say, how does leadership apply to each of those 17 goals? Those are the kind of stories we look for. So in our magazine, we've broken it down into sections. We have social impact, we have money, we have climate action, we have storytelling and speech making even, everything that would prepare a CEO and an executive level leader to succeed. We try and stay away from the pitches that have come across as too self-serving, where they're trying to sell a product or a service. I think a lot of people need to realize that when they pitch these stories, they need to be content worthy. They can't come across as a sales pitch. And I think a lot of PR agencies struggle with that. They're obviously duty bound by their clients to insert the product name every couple of lines, put it in capital letters, which we, of course, take out because that's not a style guide that is recognized by most magazines. And I think there's a lot of that hard sell involved, which is wasted. I think if people are pitching really good stories and it works, both online and in our magazine, I think they will benefit from it without having to try and overly promote it in a commercial way. I think people will be naturally drawn to a good story. And when they realize the brand or the person behind it is the person that's come up with that concept, I think they will benefit from it naturally.
Absolutely. I mean, that's I'm going to come to your pitching niggles and stuff later, because that's the bit that everyone in all our listeners love that bit. Before I do, I just want to ask you a bit about, you know, in terms of what you can use in PRs or how you can use PRs. And I'm thinking now of like formats of stories. What's the most likely way that you're going to use a pitch? For example, would it be an interview idea, or would it be that, you know, it's an advice piece that someone could write for you? Or is it that they could give you a quick quote? Or, you know, what are the kind of ways that you can utilise people that send you suggestions for content or expertise?
I've personally found that firsthand insights written by the person, not by the PR agency, but by the subject of the story, the CEO or the leader, is actually more powerful. Because I think readers look at something firsthand and say, you know, wow, if this is what somebody's thinking and how they're acting, it's more powerful than realizing that some PR person has written it. So I think the more personalized it is, and the more the person is speaking directly from the heart and talking directly from personal experience of what's made them who they are as a leader, that for me really works. And the second thing are lists. The more the story is presented in bite-sized chunks, I like to call it, a list of 5 or 10 or 15 things, which are just short, 80-word paragraphs, those seem to work really well. And I was actually looking at the demographics on our website the other day, and strangely, all the top 10 stories of the last year all had numbers in them. It was five ways to do this. It was 10 ways, you know, how to do that. You know, people, let's also acknowledge that people don't have the time to read long form stories anymore these days. It might be good for SEO on your website, but, you know, for human beings who are very limited with their time, you just want to skim a story. And if you've broken it into paragraphs, and especially you've numbered them, then I think you've got a higher chance of somebody giving it the time that it needs.
Yeah, yeah. Was it when you say that you looked at the top performing stories, was that from your website, or you mean just generally
in
the media?
From Real Leaders.
Okay. You just remind me your reach. You're in multiple countries, aren't you?
Well, we're global by nature through our website, obviously. The print magazine does go out globally. Most importantly, we actually have a relationship with the Young Presidents Organization, YPO, which is a global network of CEOs. So they receive the magazine as well. In fact, that's where the magazine started 10 years ago. We were a dedicated in-house magazine for the Young Presidents Organization. And we realized in 2017, when we relaunched the magazine, that we actually had a broader audience on newsstands. And that's when we decided to go mainstream.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now let's get on to some pitching. First of all, do you get a lot of pitches? And if so, how do you handle them?
I get a lot of pitches, and I make my mind up probably in about 5 seconds whether it's worth it or not.
Oh, great.
And I think it's, you know, I think most editors and commissioning editors face the same dilemma. They are just swamped every day with dozens of pitches. And the ones that grab me are short. You know, I think a lot of people feel that the more they write, the more chance they have of success, but it's actually the opposite way around. You need to really open up with a very strong offering, and it needs to be tailor-made to us. If it's just a cut and paste that's being shot off to hundreds of media outlets, it comes across like that. Somebody needs to have looked at our website, looked at our magazine, and realized what we're about, and then pitched us accordingly and, you know, delivered somebody that they know would have a high likelihood of being featured in our magazine. You know, we get pitched all the time for crazy products and things that have got nothing to do with our brand.
Yeah.
And those obviously get ignored straight away. But I do think the well-spaced out email with plenty of breathing room between each paragraph and nothing more than 4 paragraphs would work with a very engaging offer in the first couple of words, actually.
And how do you, so if you receive pitches, do you save them, and then do you allocate like a day, a week where you go through them, or you have a meeting, or do you just sort of deal with them as they come in?
I divide them into two things. The one is for the website, which is more immediate, and the other one is for the magazine. You know, because the magazine by default is a much slower process. You want to make sure that the higher quality newsstand type stories are more carefully looked at. So we obviously, on a 100-page magazine, you're obviously restricted by a page count. Once you've hit 100 pages of the magazine, you cannot put anything more in. Whereas our website is unlimited, you know, you can have an unlimited amount of stories.
And what's your lead time on the printed magazine?
We're a quarterly, so we're on a 3-month cycle.
Okay.
The stories that come through that are website related, we might get back to somebody with a question. Otherwise, we will just go and publish it online within the next day or two and send them the link and say, thanks very much, here's your story. With the print stories, we might bounce backwards and forwards for a month or two, just refining it because we realize that our print product is a little bit more refined.
Yeah. Print is still more prestigious than online. Still, I'm glad to hear that it still right. is with many publications. Do you use freelance writers, either for your digital content or your magazine?
Yes, we do. We've also explored untraditional freelance writers. So we look at CEOs who sometimes need a bit of help with writing. They've got a great story to tell, but they don't know how to say it properly. So, you know, sometimes we will actually interview them. And sometimes, people who pitched us stories, they will either send us the story ready to go, or they will ask if we'd like to do an interview. And that's where we will and write the story ourselves in-house.
Yeah. What do you prefer if someone pitches, say, if someone does want to write to you, for you, and they're not necessarily journalists, but they might be a CEO themselves, do you prefer that they send you the finished article or do you prefer that they just send you an outline?
We get the finished article and then we proof edit and rewrite accordingly and then send it back to them for approval and fact checking.
So even when they pitch to you, that you prefer it if they send like a finished article, even if it's just a
yes.
pitch?
There's time constraints in publishing and media where you have to get something out in a certain time. And I think if they've done all the heavy lifting already of writing 90% of the story, and it just needs 10% of polishing and finishing up, then it's much better for us.
Yeah, interesting. I hear from editors very different answers on that one, because many just want their take. You know, like they want to kind of give a brief before someone goes and writes it. I wanted to ask you roughly what's the percentage or ratio of, say, content that you produce in-house with your own writers or you personally, and then contributor articles that are either written by freelancers or freelance writers, that is, or by business leaders who want to get their own articles in?
I would say it's roughly about 50-50.
Okay.
It's pretty even.
Can you think of any examples of either really good or really bad, or even funny pitches that you've received recently, either from PRs or from freelance writers?
Well, I could start with the worst I've ever received.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I was pitched a few years ago by a PR agency that represented a manufacturer of biodegradable bullets. And they were trying to tell me that, you know, once you'd been hunting with these bullets and shot an animal with it, that these bullets basically dissolved and didn't put metals into the meat that would be bad for you to eat later. I just thought there was no judgment about hunting or killing animals. It was just, you know, these bullets dissolve once they've killed their target. And I they were trying to spin it on me as if this was a sustainable solution that was good for the world, which of course is what Real Leaders is all about. And I just remember thinking, well, nice try, guys, but I don't think that one's going to work.
did you reply to that pitch?
I don't think I did, but I thought vegan bullets was a horrible idea.
Any like good ones or any others to mention?
I think the good ones are the people who are switched on to what's happening on in the news and things that are trending right now. Because obviously we're not a fast news-based organization at all. So we look at long-term news, stuff that's still relevant in a couple of years. But increasingly, we have been looking at how we speed that up and bring ideas to the market and to our readers much faster. PR people who've done their homework, who've actually looked at what's happening in the world and tried to get their client that they represent to actually attach themselves to something that's newsworthy, I think has a much higher chance of of becoming visible.
Yeah. Do you react then to stories? Would you say you're reactive?
I think so. It's not how Real Leaders started out. We're a sustainable leadership publication, and everything we do is about being a responsible leader, which obviously manifests in many different ways. But for instance, we have jumped onto the coronavirus crisis and realized that this is it's a crisis leadership opportunity. And what we're looking for right now are creative ways of how leaders are responding to this crisis. Not the stay-at-home tips and how to survive a mental health day with your kids locked in a small apartment. You know, looking past this crisis and saying, what solutions are you thinking about already? How is your business innovating to fundamentally change? You know, the kind of things that I would find amazing right now as a story is to look at how companies and businesses are actually realizing that these crises are actually going to be here again. This isn't a one-off. This is training for the next one, what we're going through right now. And so I'm looking for stories around how businesses are changing fundamentally to ensure that these kind of things don't happen again. No one business is going to be able to solve that, obviously, but it's a case of being a role model for others so that this way of doing business spreads and people get the idea that it is possible, firstly, and that secondly, that you can actually run a business and make money out of doing it.
Yeah, you're reactive to themes, I guess.
One of the things we also decided editorially from the start was to actually, if we're going to call ourselves Real Leaders, that also comes with the assumption that we have some kind of ethical and moral obligation to how we present our stories. So, for instance, we don't touch anything that's alcohol-related or tobacco-related. We look very carefully at anything that might be fossil fuel or oil-related. Importantly, in our magazine, we have a 50-50 gender balance. So we actually physically count the stories and photographs. It sounds very pedantic and a little silly, but we actually do. We count every photograph and every story in our magazine to make sure that we actually have 50-50 gender balance. It's really important to actually do that because all of us have got this unconscious bias where we just get on with it and at the end of it go, oh, isn't that interesting? We have, you know, more stories on this than that. But you've got to physically engineer it if you want an outcome. It's not just going to happen naturally. You might have a 50-50 editorial team of male and female, and I can guarantee you it'll still be skewed towards the male stories, even though the people producing the stories are 50-50. So it's, you know, there are things like that which you have to engineer and you have to put in place as a policy decision to make sure that it actually comes out looking the way you want it.
Wow, that's brilliant that you do that. Grant, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Any other issues or observations or points you'd like to make?
Well, Helen, as I said to you at the beginning of the call, I think what you're doing is fantastic. I think, you know, having a mediator or a translator between the media and PR is a crucial function. Both are working in their separate silos. PR is just pitching like crazy because that's what they have to do. And, you know, what you're doing in terms of being able to translate what the media people are looking for to make PR people better at what they do is a really great thing.
That's really lovely to hear. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to do. So yes, spread the word.
Certainly will.
And any listeners that are listening who agree with that, spread the word. Thanks for listening to The Media Insider. Please share this podcast or rate it on your podcast app. That's how others find it. If you're keen to get into the media or get your message and expertise more widely known, then visit thoughtleadershippr.com and see how I could help. Or find me on Twitter. Just search Helen Croydon. Good luck with your pitching.